From the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network studios in Des Moines, I'm Mark Magnuson, and welcome to Iowa Ag Matters. In today's show, I am joined by Matt Youngman to discuss the Farm Progress Show returning to Boone in August. Riley will talk with Michelle Book, CEO of the Food Bank of Iowa, about a donation from Iowa Pork. And Dustin and Andy discuss meat processing plant downsizing across the state. It's time now to welcome our hosts, Dustin Huffman and Andy Peterson.
Well, it is a more March-like day here in the capital city of Iowa on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Dustin Huffman. Andy Peterson joining me, and we were just talking with Riley before we started doing the show today. He was complaining about how not warm it is, Andy, but we were reminding him that it is, after all, March and only the first full day of spring, so beggars can't really be choosers at this point.
Yeah, you're right. And we talked about this earlier this week, Mother Nature being confused. We get to spring and now there's snow back in the forecast again and cooling off. But as I was writing in the e-newsletter yesterday, Mother Nature may be reminding us a little bit that it is still a couple of weeks away from April. If you didn't see that, you simply go out to our website, iowaagnet.com, and get signed up. Lots to do today, including the first traffic meeting. This will give you warm thoughts with the Farm Progress Show, which will be in Boone this year. We'll talk about that here coming up. Of course, take a look at statewide elevator prices as well. Right now, let's dive into the markets as we see Jim McCormick from agmarket.net sitting down with Mark Magnuson.
Joined today by Jim McCormick of agmarket.net for our opening market discussion. Jim, what's taking place with the grains?
A little bit of a mixed bag overnight. We have the corn market and the wheat market under pressure, while the bean market, the meal market, as well as the bean oil market all found a little bit of strength. We did get notice today that the USDA reported the export sales to an unknown destinations of 120,000 metric tons of soybeans. So maybe somebody knew something a little bit ahead of time that announcement was coming, hence a little bit of the overnight strength in the beans.
And then with the wheat, we've seen some movement quite a bit to the upside, so some support, and it seems like it's all due to, unfortunately, the warfare taking place between Russia and Ukraine. Jim, is that kind of how you see it as well?
That's what I view it. I mean, I would not think there's a weather problem. I'd argue the weather is anything a little bit bearish in the fact that we're finally going to get some pretty good moisture moving across the Midwest. I think definitely has to do with what's going on, unfortunately, in Ukraine. It does seem like the Russians and the Ukrainians are really kind of upping their game, with the Russians specifically hitting that Odessa area with drone strikes and missile strikes. And, you know, that's going to be the key. I mean, right now it's been amazing, Mark, how much grain has been able to be shipped out of the Ukraine area, considering what's going on with this war going on. But they've been very efficient getting a lot of that grain out. Now, not as much as it was pre-war, but still enough to have an effect on the pricing of the world grain market. So yeah, you're seeing it. If the market gets a sense that less and less grain is going to be available out of the Ukraine, that should be price supportive.
Jimmy, already alluded to it, but you mentioned that sale to an unknown destination. And if I could count how many times, you know, someone comes up to me and they say, why does that report it as an unknown destination? And what is the reasoning behind that? Could you explain that a little bit, Jim?
Well, it's just one of those situations. It's a sale. It will get announced. I mean, if you look at the flash announcements, it's just the destination, but they will eventually lay it out of who actually bought it. But for the most part, Mark, I'll tell you, 9 out of 10 times when it's an unknown destination, it tends to be the Chinese, especially when they're buying beans.
And that's kind of the theme. It seems like most people have kind of picked up on that. Also, what is the current situation as far as our overall export sales and kind of where we're sitting right now in terms of the big picture?
Right now, the big picture, I think the bean sales are a little bit disappointing at this point in time. So there's a little bit of concern that you could see the export sales lowered by the USDA, but we'll see. We still got a long season to go. The corn sales actually been running a little bit better than anticipated. So, you know, hopefully we can keep that track going. Right now, a lot of the exports market are just going to hinge on what happens in South America. Brazil is just getting that safrinha crop planted. They're moving into their critical time period in April. Some of the weather maps are not very friendly, plain and simple. There's some maps are saying they're not going to get a lot of rain in April. And if you look at the headlines, they're actually seeing record amount of heat in places like right down there at Rio de Janeiro. So you combine a lot of heat in April, and if the rains start to dissipate a little bit as the monsoon shuts down and that crop gets a little bit smaller, that means less competition from the Brazilians for the world market share, and that should be price supportive for the U.S. corn market.
Well, we'll hear more from Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net coming up a little later on in the program. Andy's here with his first run-through of Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Giving back to those in need during National Ag Week here in Iowa are the Iowa Pork Producers Association, where the president is Wellman, Iowa pig farmer Matt Gent.
Food insecurity, extremely high right now. And anything the pork producers can help to fight that, we're always willing to help our communities here in the state of Iowa. Of course, 21 sacks resulted in 4,200 pounds of pork being donated. We're extremely excited about that.
To the Food Bank of Iowa as a result of the Sacking Hunger partnership with the Iowa State Cyclone football team.
Number two.
Showing support to Iowa and U.S. farmers, our friends at Busch Light becoming the first beer brand to proudly display the American Farmland Trust's new U.S. Farm certification and seal. Created to highlight consumer packaged goods that are made primarily of ingredients grown on U.S. farms. By receiving the certification, Busch Light officials say they are helping consumers seek out and feel good about supporting American farmers when shopping homegrown, which is a preference for about two-thirds of Americans. Company officials also say that comes at a time when USDA census data shows a continued decline in the total number of U.S. farms, and the U.S. Farm Certification aims to strengthen American agriculture and show support for U.S. farmers and ranchers, those who are the backbone of our country and share the same values as Busch Light.
Number one.
Who better to tell the story of Iowa soybeans than the producers themselves? And one of the best, Randy Miller, past president of the Iowa Soybean Association and newly appointed board member to the U.S. Soy Export Council.
I was also appointed to the Soy Excellence Center, which is a five centers around the world that helps teach the users of the soybean product, whether it's meal or beans, how to improve inclusion rates, why U.S. soybean is a better product, a higher quality product than other products around the world. So we just work to grow that, to inform, to educate, and help people understand why the U.S. soybean is a better product.
He says the work is vital as the effort continues to develop new markets for Iowa soybean exports. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Well, last week we talked about the Tyson Foods processing plant that's shutting down, but it's not the first one and it won't be the last one the way things are looking here. We'll talk more about who's next on that list next on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, more news that was unexpected in relation to packing activities here in Iowa as we continue on the Iowa Ag Matters program. Andy and Dustin Riley making it sound good here today. And of course, West Liberty Foods is a major employer there in Muscatine County, something that, and this is something I'm sure we'll cover in depth during tomorrow's roundtable at KWPC Radio with Kevin and crew, Tim and those guys. Looking forward to that starting at 10 o'clock, by the way, on 8:30 a.m. And you can listen on their website and their app as well. But Dustin, news breaking that they are going to reassign some tasks and as a result laying off about 260 employees beginning in April at the West Liberty Foods facility there in Muscatine County. It sounds like in talking to some folks around the area involved in the decision, it's got to do with facilities. It's also got to do with overhead and location of demand. In other words, they supply a lot of the ready-to-eat sandwiches for Jimmy John's and Subway. And so rapid growth and demand for those sandwiches produced at their Illinois plant is driving the move. In which they will shift basically all of their ready-to-eat turkey slicing operations to that Bolingbrook, Illinois facility. What is unaffected are the company's first shift turkey processing facilities. So that's not going to be affected. Producer engagement, turkey producer engagement should not be affected. They're going to keep their headquarters in West Liberty as well. So it's certainly not news that we wanted on top of what happened, what we found out about in Perry last week, but more movement, I guess, in the agricultural processing sector.
Yeah, definitely not the words we were wanting to hear, as you said right there. But, you know, and that's the sad thing about the state of the economy that we're in and how things are being done and where businesses have to make adjustments to be profitable. Unfortunately, in those situations, folks, regular everyday folks, getting the raw end of that sometimes. But you can also understand the need for consolidation when costs for shipping things are so high, gas prices are high. And you want to make sure that you're cutting costs and keeping things as centralized as you can. And, you know, luck of the draw just didn't work out this time here in Iowa. But, you know, there's other opportunities there. And, of course, opportunities to, you know, keep businesses running, keep those people employed. And so that's going to be the thing, too, that really is the cornerstone of this. You know, the people that help support the agriculture industry that maybe aren't farmers. We talk about those people and probably not enough, you know, because it's the people in the infrastructure that we rely on to process and get our products to the next step that are a lot of times the unsung heroes, you know, whether it's the bankers, whether it's the processors, whether it's the people at the rendering plants or the people that are helping you unload your grain at the elevator. There are so many people that offer support to keep our businesses afloat. And sometimes you hate to see stories like this, that those people are affected. And of course, it affects these rural communities as well, who rely so heavily on those jobs to keep that community vibrant and also provide the services that the farmers come to support as being citizens, rural citizens of that community. More Iowa Ag Matters coming up next.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Well, now that we got the negative news out of the way, we have a bunch of fun stuff to talk about still ahead, including a redesigned, better traffic pattern for the Farm Progress Show coming up later this summer, and a fantastic donation, the Sack Hunter Program. After Dustin takes a look at cash prices for grain next.
It's time to run down some of those elevator prices for you here on Iowa Ag Matters for this Wednesday, March the 20th. I'm Dustin Huffman. Starting at 8 a.m. in Burlington, they're 16 cents under on corn. Cash bid today, 421. Soybeans, 11 cents under at 1181. Cargill and Eddyville, a nickel over on corn today, 442 for the cash bid. New Co-op Algona, 12 cents under on corn. Cash bid, 425. Soybeans, 55 cents under at 1137. Ag State in Sheldon, they are a nickel under on corn, 432, soybeans 70 cents under at 1122. Ag State Alta, 21 cents under on corn, cash bid 416, soybeans 60 cents under at 1132. Cargill Cedar Rapids, 7 cents over on corn, 444, soybeans a nickel under. They're coming in today, cash bid 1187. At Nexus Co-op Marble Rock, a nickel under on corn, 432, soybeans 50 cents under at 1142. At Lincoln Way Ethanol in Nevada, they're 2 cents over on corn with a cash bid at 439. ADM Des Moines, 12 cents under on soybeans, cash bid 1180. At New Co-op Red Oak, they're 15 cents under on corn, 422, soybeans 50 cents under at 1142. Mid-Iowa Cooperative Green Mountain, 28 cents under on corn, cash bid 409, soybeans 53 cents under at 1139. New Co-op Sheraton, 30 cents under on corn. They're at 407, soybeans 55 cents under with a cash bid at 1137. Walk-On Feed Ranch, 23 cents under at 414 on corn, soybeans 43 cents under at 1149. New Co-op Glidden, 12 cents under on corn, 425, soybeans 50 cents under at 1142. At Innovative Ag Services Farley, they're 18 cents under on corn, 419. Soybeans, 39 cents under with a cash bid, 1153. And Cargill Muscatine, 12 cents under on corn, 425. Soybeans, 12 cents under at 1180. Cash corn and soybean bids are subject to change without notice. Always check with your local elevator when making sales to obtain the most recent price. That's been a rundown of the elevator bids here on Iowa Ag Matters. Be right back.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
We've got more market information still to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including a complete rundown of the midday numbers. Grain and livestock updates coming up. Don't forget, you can get free market analysis sent right to your phone or mobile device through the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network Market Podcast. You can find them on Google, Amazon, Apple, Spotify, and Podbean. More Iowa Ag Matters still to come.
You're hearing one of the Your Three Big Iowa Ag Matters today, a great donation to the Food Bank of Iowa through the SAC Hunger Program. Andy and Dustin on Iowa Ag Matters today. And Riley Smith joining in the conversation with Michelle Book, Food Bank of Iowa CEO, on the impact that Iowa's pork producers have on food insecurity.
Another year of the SAC Hunger Campaign from the Iowa Pork Producers Association. A great cause, a great donation that comes in. Michelle, first off, just tell us a little bit about what this donation means to the food bank.
Well, we're very grateful to the Cyclones and especially that defense team that came through for us this year with an innumerable number of sacks. We're hoping for more next year, run a few more blitz plays, let's get a few more sacks. But it culminated in the donation of 4,200 pounds of ground pork that will come in our freezer, stay here momentarily, and then fly out the door to help food insecure Iowans put dinner on their table.
Now, of course, as a Hawkeye fan, I don't want to see them get as many sacks for that. But when it comes to this campaign, we want to see as many from that come as possible. And, you know, for situations like this where we're in a kind of unprecedented time of food insecurity, these donations matter a lot, like you just said.
Oh, boy. Putting nutritious food on the table always matters. Protein is the building block for a nutritious meal. Pork is a very, very healthy, nutritious protein option. And families today, 1 in 6 working Iowa family is not bringing home enough money. They're not bringing home enough bacon to put pork on the table. They cannot cover the cost of basic needs. That's 1 in 6 working Iowa households cannot cover the cost of their basic needs. Over 1/3 of overall Iowans can't cover the cost of health care, utilities, medicine, shelter. We're in unprecedented times. Food insecurity continues to escalate. People are more and more pinched when it comes to the grocery store. I don't think we realize it, but food prices have increased 25% in the last 4 years. And a lot of folks can absorb some of that cost, but people that are living paycheck to paycheck simply cannot. And when they're coming close to payday and there's no money in the billfold, they come to a food pantry to get support so they can feed their families.
And then, of course, you know, with that statistic, you know, 1 in 6 working families not able to get food on the table, that's one of those things where a lot of us looking around, we don't think about food insecurity being a problem. But if you just look slightly into your community, it's everywhere. And to have these donations, like you said, you know, this is a great donation came in. It's not going to last long here, so we need as many as we can get.
Well, absolutely. We work hard to build strong relationships with food donors, wholesalers, retailers, and associations like the Iowa Pork Producers and the Iowa Egg Council, getting good, clean, lean protein on the table for Iowans who just need a little help to make ends meet, a little help to put food on the table. This is why we exist. This is the job of Food Bank of Iowa. Today, we're moving about 2.5 million pounds of food every month. delivering that to the doors of our 700 partners across 55 Iowa counties. But we need to get that food in the door. We need to get 2.5 million pounds of food in the door so we can get it out to help food insecure Iowans.
Right, and we have this great new expansion that we're standing in right now, so obviously we want to put that to as much use as possible. Let's touch as well on this partnership with Iowa Pork and just how amazing it is to be able to be so closely working with one of those commodity groups in the state of Iowa.
Well, Iowa pork producers have been great friends and supporters of the Iowa Food Bank Association and all the Feeding America food banks serving our 99 counties. This relationship has been ongoing. They stepped up during COVID to help us get more ground pork by working with the Iowa State Lab and Iowa pork producers. So that really solidified the relationship. And they just stick with us because they know how important it is to get good protein on the tables for food insecure Iowans. And they care about the communities. Iowa pork producers are working out there every day to produce the best possible pork. They take care of their animals, they care about their farms, and they're invested in their communities.
Well, thanks to Michelle Book there for providing that information to us. Andy Peterson ready to go with his second round of the Three Big Iowa Ag Matters.
Number three.
Giving back to those in need during National Ag Week here in Iowa are the Iowa Pork Producers Association, where the president is Wellman, Iowa pig farmer Matt Gent.
Food insecurity, extremely high right now. And anything the pork producers can help to fight that, we're always willing to help our communities here in the state of Iowa. Of course, 21 sacks resulted in 4,200 pounds of pork being donated. We're extremely excited about that.
To the Food Bank of Iowa as a result of the Sacking Hunger partnership with the Iowa State Cyclone football team.
Number two.
Questioning norms and potentially exposing myths in the seed industry in regard to describing corn products by certain attributes that aid in placement. Our friends at Beck's Hybrids are announcing their investment in a uniquely different approach to product research. They call it Root Reveal. And the idea is to spark a change in industry standards of how corn products are characterized. Now, their investment in the Root Reveal research digs deep into understanding the corn root architecture and offers actionable insights for product placement and management strategies with Jim Schwartz. Director of Research Agronomy and Practical Farm Research for Beck says they're hoping to, quote, dig deeper to provide farmers with more knowledge about the products they're planting.
Number one.
Giving back to those in need during National Ag Week here in Iowa are the Iowa Pork Producers Association, where the president is Wellman, Iowa pig farmer Matt Gent.
Food insecurity, extremely high right now. And anything the pork producers can help to fight that, we're always willing to help our communities here in the state of Iowa. Of course, 21 sacks resulted in 4,200 pounds of pork being donated. We're extremely excited about that.
To the Food Bank of Iowa as a result of the Sacking Hunger partnership with the Iowa State Cyclone football team. I'm Andy Peterson. Those are your three big Iowa Ag Matters.
Go on the offensive against weeds with Antares Complete from Helena. Antares Complete eliminates early weed competition with long-lasting residual control of broadleaf weeds and grasses. With a balanced premix of three herbicides, Antares Complete combats herbicide resistance and helps soybeans achieve a faster, more vigorous start to the season. Take a tactical first strike against weeds and protect your soybeans early with Antares Complete. Always follow label instructions and check registration before use. Contact your Helena representative to learn more.
Still more to come here on Iowa Ag Matters, including what we're going to find out with the traffic control patterns that are changing up at Boone for the Farm Progress Show coming up here late here in the summer. We'll have Mark Magnuson talking with the folks up there about that. But first, we're going to get a complete rundown of the midday market numbers, see where the grain and livestock markets are trending here today. Of course, big cattle on feed report coming up later on in the week. Here on the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, online at iowaagnet.com. This is Iowa Ag Matters.
This is the Midday Market Update on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson. The morning corn market trading 0.75 cents to 1.75 cents weaker so far into the midweek session. The overnight market had May trading from unchanged to down 2.5 cents. On Tuesday, corn ended near the session highs with 2.5 to 3.5 cent gains.
Brazil's Ag Rural had corn harvest at 68% finished for the center-south region, up from 57% last week and 51% at the same time last year. They reported second crop planting at 97% complete, matching Safra's reports. China apparently approved another 27 GMO corn varieties for planting on Tuesday. Soybeans trading with 6 to 7.25 cent gains today. Beans ended Tuesday mixed within 3 cents of unchanged. New crop prices settled the day in the black, but 3 cents off their session high. Soy meal futures closed Tuesday with $1.70 to $2 gains. Soy oil futures went home with 56 to 60 point losses across the front months. China is approving GMO soybean varieties in an effort to boost abysmal average yields that are not only below the U.S. and Brazil, but also consistently below the world average. Brazil's Ag Rural had soybean harvest at 63% complete as of March 14th. That was up 55% from last week and remains around 1% ahead of last year's pace. That's the latest on the grains. Here's Andy Peterson with more livestock news.
Yeah, Mark, beef first, as always. Daily estimated slaughter total numbers, 122,000 head. That's the same as a week ago, 4,000 less than a year ago. Boxes are mixed here at midday with a strong movement, 101 loads of choice cut selling. 313.22, that's down 11 cents. Select is 13 cents stronger, 303.18 on 14 loads of movement, and that spread is right at $10. Now, pork-wise, daily estimated slaughter total numbers coming in at 491,000 head. That's 9,000 more than a week ago and 7,000 more than a year ago. Cash market-wise here, let's wrap up yesterday's numbers for comparison purposes. Barrels and gilts producers sold on a carcass basis, negotiated purchase-wise. We see that there were over 11,000 head of sales, so a big day. Weighted average price up $1.12, $80.78. As far as the formula purchases are concerned, also a strong run of 167,000 head of sales. Weighted average price $81.74, so that market actually finished the day about 17 cents weaker. Now, for what's happening this morning, over 4,900 head of negotiated purchases. We're up $1.11 again to a weighted average price of $80.97. Formula purchases a little lighter run of only 101,000 head and some change. Weighted average price, though, is up 34 cents to $83.09.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
At midday, May corn is down 2.25 at 437.25. May soybeans up 10 even at 1195.5. May soybean meal up $4.20 at 338.10. May soybean oil up 37 cents at 48.51. On the Merck, April live cattle down 42 cents at 187.62. April feeder cattle down 10 cents at 254.97. April lean hogs down 30 cents at 85.52. April pork cutout unchanged at 93.65. That was a check of the midday markets on Iowa Ag Matters. I'm Mark Magnuson.
Well, as promised, Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net back with Mark Magnuson. They're going to talk about what's happening in that livestock market numbers. Of course, we have the big report coming up, so let's see what they have to say.
Let's take a look at the other side of the ag marketplace. What's happening with the livestock?
Overall, if you look at the cattle market, it's been slowly sideways to higher grind, and I think that's kind of what we're going to continue to see. We do have the cattle on feed report here at the end of the week. But in general, we know the supply is very, very tight. But at this point, the demand is hanging in there right now. So it is an equal balance at the moment. Now, if supply tightens up, you might get another leg up on the cattle market. We do need to kind of keep an eye on the demand. You're seeing a little bit of fractures in some of the consumer spending right now. So if the demand would start to wane, you could see the prices sag a little bit, even with a tight supply. But right now, we seem like pretty good equilibrium to keep this market steady to a little bit higher into the summertime.
Do you anticipate any big changes in that cattle on feed report, or do you expect it to look fairly similar to the previous report?
I think in general, it's going to be very similar to the previous report. The reality is, you know, the amount of beef supply out there is still very, very tight, and it's going to take a while to turn that around. you know, what we need to kind of keep an eye on what's going on potentially that, you know, we get these high prices. Do we start importing more beef into the country? But, you know, we don't hear a lot of people talking about it, but we do import a lot of protein in the United States. As our prices go higher, it could drive even more beef into our country. So something we do need to keep an eye on. If you're overall, if you're a producer of beef, we'd argue, hey, these high levels, don't be afraid to, you know, buy some puts or something to at least lay off some of this risk.
Jim, we had an unfortunate situation here in the state of Iowa last week with the announcement of the closing of the Tyson processing plant for hogs in Perry, Iowa. And then also we've gotten news here in recent days about a turkey facility in eastern Iowa as well that also is having some issues. So I know this has been a little bit part of a bigger trend right now across the country, but have you seen this in your state of Illinois? Have you seen this in other areas? Is this becoming an even bigger trend?
Well, I think it's definitely a trend. I haven't seen it here in Illinois, but we don't, you know, the reality is once you get across, you know, east where I'm at, you don't see a whole lot of big processing facilities. They tend to be a little bit further west or far east for the most part. But it is a concern right now. I mean, that shows you, you know, that's not what you want to see. I mean, when you lose that chain capacity, that hurts the producer. You know, he has less people to sell those his product to. On the other hand, it's not good for the local community to lose those jobs. That is, you know, in rural America, that's definitely a little bit devastating as well.
Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net, our guest here today. Jim, what's the best way for our listeners to get in touch for more marketing information?
You can reach me directly at 815-665-0461. Reach any of the Ag Market team members at 844-424-6758. Better yet, go to AgMarket.net, sign up for our research, and look for our new app that is being released the beginning of April.
Lots of great resources from the team at AgMarket.net. Jim, thanks so much for the time, and have a great rest of your week.
Thanks for having me on.
March is game time. As our favorite teams are gearing up for a tournament run, Iowa's 40,000 soybean farmers are preparing for the spring planting season ahead. The Iowa Soybean Association is ready to team up with farmers to deliver a winning game plan through innovative research, tools, and technical support that maximizes their soy checkoff investment. Make 2024 your championship season by visiting iasoybeans.com today. The Iowa Soybean Association, celebrating 60 years of moving the industry forward.
It'll be here before we know it, and that's the Farm Progress Show, returning to Boone for the first time in 2 years. Of course, that'll be fantastic as always. And they've got a new overpass and a better traffic plan. Had a meeting about that. And of course, our own Mark Magnuson was there and brings you the latest straight ahead on Iowa Ag Matters.
Well, we're getting ready for the summer season, you know, fast approaching, even though we're only a day and a half into spring. But we're also thinking about things coming up like the Iowa State Fair and, of course, the Farm Progress Show that's coming up later on at the end of summer here in Boone, and lots of things going on. We mentioned traffic control, but also farm demonstrations coming back to the program as well. Mark Magnuson was up in Boone yesterday, and he has more.
Mark Magnuson for the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network, and I'm here in Boone. I am at the Farm Progress Show grounds, and I'm with Matt Youngman. Matt, could you tell us your role within the organization, please?
I am the National Events Director, so I'm in charge of all the live events that we do here at Farm Progress, which is Farm Progress Show, Husker Harvest Days, and the Farm Futures Business Summit.
The show switches between Illinois and Iowa each year. We are here at the Iowa site, of course, in Boone, because we're getting ready for the show to return this fall to Iowa. So, Matt, what is the importance of today? We are here on the grounds, had a little bit of a meeting. What did we need to go over today?
So the big milestone today is our first traffic meeting. And normally that is just a matter of pulling out the last time we were in Boone, pulling out those notes and making the plan. But we're really excited. We're going to be able to add a whole new traffic route into the show for 2024. We're going to, now that there's an overpass going over the railroad lines along the north side of the show site, we're going to be able to bring traffic in from the north on Highway 17, and they never have to get on Highway 30 at all, which is certainly new and adds some flexibility for the law enforcement folks who were here. It was good to have such a good crowd, a lot of familiar faces that have done this before with good notes from previous shows. So turned out to be a really good meeting. And then when we're in town, we'll have a lot of other meetings. You know, I have a meeting coming up with Van Wall today and several other folks that are kind of key figures in making a Farm Progress Show in Boone happen.
Now, Matt, we know a show like this, there's so many moving parts, so many pieces that go into the logistics. So traffic is just obviously something that's going to be difficult to control when there's so many people in one place. So was this something that was needed just to open things up a little bit? Was it just something that makes it easier?
It's just kind of part of the process. We do it every time. We have this, you know, March, April meeting, and then we'll have another meeting in June before we put the show program to print, just to make sure that no construction issues have come up or there isn't anything happening in the neighborhood that we need to be aware of. But it's just kind of part of the process. As we get closer to the show, the trips here start to increase and make those, you know, you're doing the initial planning now, and then you always have that July-August meeting to make sure that everything is in place and we're ready to launch for the show, which is August 27th, 28th, and 29th.
Now, the show grounds themselves are very easy to find here in Boone, but it probably is a good idea to at least familiarize yourself with the area and look things over before you come, just so you kind of know the lay of the land. What would you suggest for a prospective visitor that hasn't been to the show before?
Make the plan is exactly right. So farmprogressshow.com is going to be, it doesn't have much on it right now. We'll just steadily fill the content there at farmprogressshow.com. You can sign up to get newsletters from us so that you can get last minute updates on things like traffic routing and field demonstrations and maybe some, you know, you never know. We're in Iowa on an even numbered year, so you never know what politician's going to crawl out of the woodwork and show up. So a lot of that kind of stuff you can track at the website all summer long as you make your plans.
So what is the next step then in the process? You talked about this being kind of a yearly or bi-yearly tradition to set things up with traffic. What is the next bowling pin that you need to knock down?
Yep. So the next big hurdle, I mean, between now and May, I'll be working on this 900-piece puzzle behind us, making all these exhibitors fit and fulfilling all their wishes to be near or away from or next to or partnered with other exhibitors. But the next date on the calendar is in April 17th. We'll have what we call our vendor day, and we bring in all the vendors, the landscapers, electricians, tent companies, all those companies, they'll be here. And then our bigger exhibitors will come and kind of have their planning and strategy meeting in April. We're going to bolt a smaller traffic meeting onto that as well, because we're working hard to make sure that this new route in from the north works well coming in. And then somewhere in there, I hope right around that time, we've got the field demonstration corn in the ground. We're targeting April 10th. And, you know, the last time we were here, we didn't get it in the ground till May 19th, and we weren't able to have demos because of that. But we've got a good plan. John Deere partners with us to put all that crop in the ground in a big hurry. So as soon as they've got a window, we'll get that stuff in the ground. And hopefully a month from now, we're able to talk about corn in the ground.
Matt, I guess it's pretty fitting, you know, a massive farm show like this, that you have to deal with the weather too, just like a farmer would, and plan around it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat as some of the farmers around here who maybe wanted to plant corn a couple weeks ago when it was just so nice and it looked perfect, but we'll wait for the calendar to say it's okay. And yeah, you're right. It certainly gives us the feel that we're right in the same boat with the visitors that are coming to the show.
Matt Youngman, thanks so much for the time here today. Best of luck with the planning process as it goes forward, and looking forward to that show.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Wildfires have devastated Texas ranches, burning millions of acres of rangeland, destroying buildings and fences, and killing thousands of cattle. You can help by donating to the Texas Panhandle Wildfire Relief Fund. To make a tax-deductible donation, go to texasfarmbureau.org and click on the red Wildfire Relief Fund button at the top of the page. 100% of every dollar you donate goes directly to a Texas rancher to help them rebuild. Go to texasfarmbureau.org to donate. This message from the Iowa Agribusiness Radio Network.
Fantastic coverage once again of the events that are impacting Iowa agriculture here on Iowa Ag Matters. Once again, showing you why we are your authentic, trusted, and official voice of Iowa agriculture. Thanks to Dustin, Riley, Mark, and you for being here. I will have special coverage tomorrow from Muscatine, and the KWPC Roundtable. We'll see you then on Iowa Ag Matters.